Welcome back to Toad Talk. Woo Hog Suey.
I guess.
Woo Frog Suey is what I meant to say. I got my hogs and frogs mixed up.
We're more like you suck Patooey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We're very excited for this bowl game
matchup. Oh, I'm very excited for this bowl game matchup.
Very excited for this bowl game matchup. We're going to talk about some coaching changes possibly coming. I mean, there's one.
One has happened.
One has happened. But now there's a spot to fill. So here are some names to throw out there that are potential replacements for the new offensive coordinator. The football team brought in a transfer. Basketball team's doing okay. The men won a big game.
I say a little more than okay.
The men are doing okay. The women lost a tough one the other day, so the men are doing good.
Tide is turning.
Yes, for the Frogs. And then we'll get to Twitter questions. That's kind of the quick rundown of today. Billy Wells, Clint Foster, as always. Yeah.
There's
Clint,
your teaser. Oh, I'm doing great. I am freshly 30. So you're listening to the voice of a 30-year-old man.
When was your birthday?
Right, yesterday.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, indeed it was. Yeah. December is a big month for me. It is on Facebook, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, are we Facebook friends?
That's a good question. I hardly ever get on Facebook. I'm way more active on Twitter and Instagram. So there's, in fact, a high likelihood that we're probably not Facebook friends. We should rectify that.
Well, happy birthday. And
thank you.
You've been given a bunch of Twitter questions. You were not given, I'm guessing, a TC sweater, because I believe it made an appearance in the Louisiana Tech video.
Yes, yeah. This is one that I've already got, and I threw it on because I'm actually planning on going to the basketball game this evening.
Oh, nice.
With one of my best friends from college who's in town. Yeah. He was finally able to break free of Washington, D.C. and come home for the first time this year.
There you go.
So we're going to go to Joe T's and go watch the Frogs, hopefully demolish North Dakota State.
The Bison. Bison to that football team or that basketball team.
They are not moon bison, though. They are just regular old fixing to lose bison.
In saying bison to somebody, we're saying bye, Sonny Cumbie.
Oh, yes.
That's
a good transition.
Thanks, man. I'm proud of that one, actually. Just came up with it.
And I have such mixed feelings about this because, you know, yes, a couple years ago I was unabashedly hollering fire Cumbie, which I later backtracked on. But I feel like the writing was on the wall for this. Whenever he got stripped of play calling duties, you're like, yeah, this is definitely trending in a different direction than it was a few years ago. But the thing that I hate is just by all accounts, he was such a fantastic human being.
Great guy.
Utterly amazing human being.
Great guy. Yep.
And great recruiter, great developer of quarterbacks. It's just in the play calling department where he kind of laxed there in those few years that he had that. And, you know, who even knows? I bet if we were at practice every day and we were flies on the wall, we may know things that made his job a little more difficult.
I wish we knew more.
But, you know, I guess it's cool for him. He's going back home, for lack of a better word, to Texas Tech. But I swear, if Texas Tech ever hangs 70 on us while he's there, I will be sitting in sackcloth and ashes. I'll be like, I've already done this before with Sonny Cumbie at Texas Tech. I don't want to do it again. But yes, best wishes to Sonny Cumbie. Hopefully, I mean, you know, you'd like to think, ideally, that we'd bring in some fresh blood, some new ideas to the coaching staff, but I'm kind of skeptical that such a thing will happen.
I also am skeptical. I don't believe it happens. The move probably comes from in-house, and you mentioned before we recorded, the most likely scenario is probably Kenny Hill being upgraded at his job. So I think that is perhaps your most likely scenario for quarterback coach. He was a successful quarterback here.
Yeah, indeed he was.
So I think that is your the most likely answer, but it's not fun to be like, yeah, it's probably the right answer. I want to throw out some other guesses and some other names out here.
Well, there's one fella who's been getting talked about a lot on TCU Twitter.
A lot of people are excited about the possibility of Gus Malzahn coming home. You know, he's originally from Irving.
He's from Irving. Yeah. I did look at his Wikipedia. I was like, is he really from DFW, though? Yep, he is. He come on home, Gus Malzahn.
Yep, so I put that at a less than 1% chance of happening, but it's fun to dream, right?
Listen,
he was an offensive guru at Auburn.
We have had former successful head coaches come in and be position coaches for a year in the past. Anyone remember Randy Shannon?
Yeah,
he was on that TCU staff as a linebacker coach.
No, you're
for
right.
Half a second.
For maybe half a second.
He coached Kenny Kane.
I don't think he even coached the bowl game that year, did he?
I don't think so. I want to say that was my senior year that he was there.
I thought it was after that.
No, because I was there.
Maybe I don't know. Well, you're 30 now, so
yeah.
It's been a while.
Time marches on. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's that's just fun. It's a fun dream. It's a fun dream to have.
Sure.
The Malzahn offense. I had a buddy of mine that's a a UT and UNC alum, got his undergrad at UNC and his master's from UT, texted me about Gus Malzahn to TCU. I was like, I mean, that could be fun, but yeah. It's weird that it's like that's a thing not just in the TCU stratosphere.
Yeah. Can he bring Cam Newton with him?
I mean, he's out of eligibility.
Yeah.
He should have never had it in the first place.
Yeah, right.
Beside the point, never stopped Malzahn from having a good time. So a couple of the more likely names. I mean, I mentioned UNC there a second ago, so let's transition to the third name on this list, Keith Heckendorf.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at Arkansas State, and Arkansas State just switched their coaching staff up. They brought in Butch Jones. So as best I can tell, he's available at the moment. So he doesn't have a job. He was their OC / quarterback coach. They were third in the nation in passing this year with 364 yards per game. Before going to Arkansas State, he coached up Mitchell Trubisky at UNC, so he knows how to develop a quarterback. Again, you can laugh at Trubisky in the pros all you want, but he was still the number two overall pick in the draft.
He was pretty good in college.
So, and he's playing better the last couple weeks. So, and again, he played quarterback in college at St. Cloud State, where he was an All-American at that D2 level.
Go Clouds.
So it does feel like he's perhaps being groomed for a head job, but I think one more stop at a place like TCU wouldn't hurt that.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of UNC, another fellow who happens to be freshly unemployed, but, you know, I don't think I necessarily want him anywhere near the TCU coaching staff, and nor would he be, but Larry Fedora. Did you hear about this?
Yep.
Recently,
he's
parting ways with Baylor.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Baylor's offense from this year.
I agree. I'm so, just saying, speaking of UNC, freshly unemployed people.
So, but that could be – so these are names to watch out for Baylor, too. If TCU doesn't grab one of these guys, perhaps they're on Baylor's list.
Very true.
A more local guy, Tommy Maynard at UNT. Mm. He's their OC / wide receiver coach. So I get that's not the quarterbacks, but they were number seven in offense this year. Played at Tarleton State, where he was the quarterback coach after he finished his playing career there. Also coached at Texas Tech for a year and Lamar and Sam Houston State. So he's got a Texas flavor to him.
Yeah. That's another potential option. But yeah, like we say, probably most likely scenario is Kenny Hill.
He could take the Tommy Maynard trajectory, right? You play at a school and then become that guy. But again, that's not fun. It's not fun to dream.
It's not fun to talk about
a little bit. So I got one more fun name to hear.
This
is perchance the most fun name I found on this list.
Perchance to dream.
Yes, Andrew Soder.
Okay.
That name ring any kind of bells to you?
I don't believe so.
So he's at Kent State. He's the OC and quarterback coach there. So they only played four games this year, but they were the number one offense in the country in those four games. They put up over 600 yards of offense this year. So you got to take some from that. But also last year, he built up Dustin Crum through 20 touchdowns to just two interceptions. So their quarterback at Kent State played well. He's also from Texas, shallow water Texas, which you know where that is? You used to be out there in the West Texas.
Yes, area. Yeah. Shallow water Mustangs, I want to say.
I think it's in Lubbock County, I believe. Yeah. So it's somewhere way out west, but it's there. He played at Baylor. So he serves as UT quality control offensive coach in 2016. So he's got some roots of Texas.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of just – that's the
How
most
How are his
fun
Germany
name.
Roots? That's what I want
to
know.
That's the – well, very deep. Yeah. I mean, the big thing is what's Honey, because Honey was very close to Cumbie.
Yeah.
But we haven't heard anything about any kind of move or anything like that. If anything, I saw this move because Tech's big quarterback commit didn't sign. Mm. Their four-star they're bringing in a quarterback didn't sign on signing day. Then he was very excited. Moner, whatever his name was.
Moner?
That's mostly to be funny. Whatever that quarterback is that Tech has coming in, I think he's now pumped to play for Cumbie. So,
well, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. So Cumbie's out. So names to keep an eye on. Again, most likely is Kenny Hill. Gus Malzahn, I'd say less than 1% chance, but it's fun to dream. Mm. Andrew Soder, Tommy Maynard, and Keith Heckendorf.
Heckendorf.
Fun names to think about, dream about.
Some of them fun to say.
Some of them are fun to say. It's also fun to say woo pig suey, but we hope we don't hear a whole lot of that next week
only
when TCU plays
so inclined.
Arkansas. Again, this is another school where I've got a lot of familial ties. It's a fun end of the season for me.
Yeah.
My dad was born in Hope, Arkansas.
Oh.
So his side of the family is all still in Arkansas. So I see them once in a blue moon nowadays, every 4 or 5 years. So I see that side of the family. But it's fun. I mean, it's another fun rivalry back from the Southwest Conference.
Oh, yes.
Where I didn't realize that at one point TCU lost 22 straight games.
22 straight games. Yes, my family has told me ample stories about those years. And then when they finally broke that winning streak with none other But TCU coach Dan Sharp,
yeah,
catching a touchdown pass in that game.
I believe we referenced that game in our countdown of greatest athletes who are each number.
Yes, indeed, yes. We did. And Don Dowell, I should say this, who is a frequent listener to the podcast. Shout out to Don. He shared on Twitter that he still has a shirt that says 22 is enough, and it has a hog roasting on a spit, which for some reason is in red. He was like, it should have been in purple, but I'm like, that's still fantastic. So cool. I love that shirt.
Well, don't you dare wear that in the student section. You might get yelled at via Donati.
So oh, yeah. Who allowed this? Yeah. But yeah, I said it on Twitter. Like, you will never catch me upset about playing an old Southwest Conference rival, but especially Arkansas. I get so pumped for these Arkansas games because of the history that precedes in this series. And also, it's fun for me, too, because, well, I feel like even more recently I've made a lot of connections with clients who happen to be Arkansas fans. But my mother-in-law's, her whole family, she went to Texas Tech, but her whole family is big Arkansas folks. Yeah. So I was texting, one of the first people I texted after the bowl announcement came down was my wife's uncle, just be like, we're playing Arkansas in the Texas Bowl. And he's like, oh my gosh, we're like, win and everything, you know, getting real excited about it. So should be one that will be, well, we already are favored in.
Season, I think, is a 5.5-point favorite in or something.
Yeah, 5 or 6. And so should be a win for us. You know, Arkansas is still a 3-win team, but will be very fun nonetheless.
And the thing with Arkansas is I want to do a more in-depth breakdown next week before the game, preview that. And I'm trying to get one of my buddies, Danny West, who covers the team for 247. We used to work at Rivals together. One of my best buds as far as in this recruiting the sports writing world, trying to get him on the phone for next week to talk about the game. And also, he's just a goofy dude. I mean, like, it'll go off the rails within 3 seconds, I guarantee it.
Excellent.
So it'll be a fun conversation nonetheless when me and him get together. But so try and preview the game a little bit more next week, so that's why we're kind of glossing over it now. But we're excited. I mean, this game in 2017, TCU won 28-7, went to Arkansas. That was a really fun game for me to be at, especially.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun trip for me, too.
Yeah, so it was a fun game to be at because I hadn't been to a game there before, and the stadium's come a long way in these 3 years. And in the game here in 2016, Arkansas won 41-38 in double overtime.
That was freaking – oh, I'm still mad about that game. A blocked
field goal with 10 seconds left.
Well, I mean, you know, there was a face mask that on Deontay Gray that I will never forget because I was so upset about it. I threw my hands out and spilled somebody's nachos behind me. That the cheese went everywhere. But there was a face mask on Deontay Gray that resulted in a fumble that didn't get called. And that was, I felt like that set the stage for the entire game. Yeah. Just get completely that and Kenny Hill's non-throat slash.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So much nonsense that just robbed that game from us. I'm still upset about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it shows. And so hopefully you can go, if you go to the game next week, you can let out some of that frustration. So
yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be watching it even if I don't get
it.
Oh, go,
definitely watching it for sure. Yeah. It's 7 p.m. New Year's Eve on ESPN, so keep an eye out for that.
Yes, yes.
So hopefully, again, talk about that more next week.
Well, no, just to wet your whistle, yeah, though, for that preview, I feel like just before anything else needs to be said, this is one of those run the dang ball games.
Yeah.
Right? Because that run defense, not too fantastic. Well, our run offense, been pretty fantastic the last couple of weeks.
I do think TCU will have its way offensively and probably defensively against Arkansas. But Arkansas, again, their last couple games have been rough. But the last game was against Alabama. You get a pass on that one. But they gave up 52 points to Missouri, who has a strong safety, Sean Robinson, right now.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a...
Which is weird. Man, we could talk about that, too. Sean Robinson and his penchant for interceptions continue.
Yeah, yeah, right? Again, I still think that's the weirdest thing that's happened all of 2020. Regardless of anything, Sean Robinson intercepting a pass. Yeah, so speaking of transfers and Sean Robinson, TCU football, I'm getting good at these segues.
Oh, man. It's a master class.
Getting a transfer in from UCF. Kenny Turnier coming in for, I put it as depth of defensive tackle, but then I looked at his stats a little bit deeper. He's going to push for the starting job next to Corey Bethley.
Like
Bethley is the starter. He's everything I've heard is he's coming back. I don't know if he's made an official announcement on it, but it seems all signs point towards him returning. I think that second spot next to him with Jarrell Cooper, George Ellis, Patrick Jenkins, and Earl Barquette have all stepped up big this year and last year as they develop in some of those guys' cases. But Kenny is going to be good. Like, he had 12 tackles and 4 sacks in 5 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect him to start at that other tackle spot. And that's not to disparage any of those other guys that we have playing tackle. That's just, I mean, a huge boost that he provides to our defensive line, which I think now immediately becomes the best defensive line in the Big 12 next year.
Yeah, I think it's not a drastic overstatement either, because I think Is West Virginia losing the one of the Stills brothers? Still,
well, I thought they were twins, so I thought they were using.
They're losing. Are they losing both of them?
I thought so. I could be completely off base in saying that.
I mean, I hope so. But Turnier, 6'4", 285, again, started at Oregon State. Big body, man. I like this addition a lot.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Trill Turnier. Or Trillier. Yeah? Can we do that?
You can make something out of that.
Can we make that happen?
Stills. I'm pulling up to see if Stills is coming back around. Again, preseason defensive player of the year for the conference. He's a senior, so odds are he's going pro at least. At least Darius is.
Okay.
The better of the two. So if I were him... I would go pro. So, yeah.
The other one might still be there.
Hey, there you go. Man. Look at you. But so I think that's I think it's fair to say this will be the best defensive line in the conference with Kari Coleman, who is newcomer of the year coming back. And then you got O'Shawn Mathis becoming hulking out the last in back half of the season.
Helps a lot to have somebody with a pulse on the other side of the line.
Yeah. So I feel good. I feel good about the defensive line next year. Again, the biggest question is. It's Trevon Merrick coming back? Not sure. We got a Twitter question about that.
Hope so.
We still haven't heard one way or another about that. So if he comes back, I am all about TCU winning the Big 12 next year.
Oh my God.
I'm still expecting to be in the Big 12 title game with or without him. But
can you even imagine, like, All-American Trey Tomlinson, who has now just exploded this year, Jim Thorpe Award finalist Trey Merrick, and Ardarius Washington, who, yes, had a little bit of a down year, but is still Ardarius flippin' Washington. All of them sharing a defensive backfield together, and Noah Daniels back healthy. Yep. Oh, my God.
The Kendrick Van Zandt.
And that defensive line. Is anyone going to score on us? I don't know. Maybe not.
Oklahoma will probably get a field goal. Let's give him a field goal.
Yeah, they'll get a field goal.
Yeah, CJ Caesar developed a long way, too.
Yes.
Again, the cornerback is what I'm most excited about because – like they're starting, they're 3 and 4 corners. Like Tomlinson was fighting for the number 2 spot with Keon Stewart, and then Caesar was the number 4 guy.
Yeah.
So and they thrust into the starting jobs midway through the season, and now you've got 4 corners you feel really good about.
I mean, I don't know why I'm so surprised by just how great THT has become because I mean this dude has literally just vaulted himself into being an absolute shutdown corner over the course of 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean he's a Tomlinson though. What else would I expect?
Well, you should have seen this coming, right? Yeah. With that name on the jersey, should have seen that coming. So, yes. Yeah, feeling really good about 2021. It's about that the one spot on defense you wonder about is the second linebacker spot though. Who's going to replace Wallow?
Yeah.
Ben Wilson, I think I saw enter the transfer portal, so it won't be him.
Yeah.
So
we got Jamoy Hodge, we got Wyatt Harris, who still got some playing time this year.
Have the artist formerly known as Marcel Brooks sitting there.
That is true.
Who knows what he could become. Hopefully if he gets things going in the right direction. If he steps up and becomes that other linebacker, this defense should be...
Forget it.
Should be the best ever in the Big 12.
Should be, yeah.
If Trevon Merrick comes back and Brooks ascends to Wallow-esque levels, I feel good. I feel amazing about this defense.
I don't think you're going out on a limb and saying that at all.
I don't think it's that crazy of a stretch. And offense brings back, everybody but Pro Wells and TJ Stormont?
Yeah. Well, and even TJ Stormont, I saw... now, this is something that got the rumor mill swirling, okay. Right? Because Mark Cohen had tweeted something about his PhD, yeah. And TJ Stormont just tweeted out like a handshaking emoji, and everyone was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Maybe he's coming back, too.
Maybe. So he can.
This year doesn't count for anybody. So, technically, Wall can come back, too, if he wants to.
Yeah.
If he wants to chase a ring. So,
I think it's safe to say he's gone.
He's for sure gone. But I'm just saying, Trevon Merrick holds all the keys as far as like to my how high my excitement is. It's already very high for 21. It's been that way for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
Even without him, you're still looking at a Big 12 championship caliber team.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, if he comes back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like let's just go wild with our optimism.
Shut out every game.
Yeah.
Get a shutout every game because you have Cal coming to town. You
go ahead and win every game 7-0.
And the other game is Duquesne is the non-conference opponent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So you're having 3 non-con home games with Duquesne,
SMU, and Cal.
So you can win all 3 of those.
Yeah.
SMU, I think, is losing Bouchelle. Maybe Bouchelle's
going to
They're
losing Bouchelle. They are getting Tanner Mordecai.
Oh.
Which was news that came out, okay. I think, earlier today.
I hadn't seen that one yet.
I had seen that, and I'm still upset that someone named Mordecai doesn't have a 6-foot-long gray beard. But
well, give him time.
C'est la vie.
He's got a couple months of quarantine bearding to grow.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
That could happen there. So that'll be interesting. But Yeah, so I'm excited for 2021, and you all should be as well.
Yes, yeah. If this is the first you're hearing of 2021, if you happen
to stumble upon this podcast 255 episodes in, yeah, maybe you're familiar with how much we're excited for 2021. Also excited for 2021 basketball. We think they'll be even better next year than they are this year. And RJ Nembhard again hit another big shot. His I think second game winner and third like buzzer beater in his career here already.
Yeah,
it's a beat Oklahoma State 77-76. I guess this was with 7 seconds left, so I don't know if that counts as a buzzer beater, but it's a game-winning shot. Cade Cunningham couldn't do it. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying. So, and this is weird. It's going to be another year where TCU's played the number one overall pick, and I wasn't impressed. Like when they played Markelle Fultz twice,
uh-huh.
I was not impressed. Trae Young was impressive.
Yes.
But he also, I saw him have a lot of turnovers in mm-hmm. college. Also, he's playing with better players now.
Yeah.
But this is another year where Cade Cunningham, I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, he should be good, I guess. But I'm not super sold on him being the best player, best end-all, be-all. He wasn't the best player in the field that night, on the court that night.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't even on a field, so.
Not even close. He was near a lake or a pond, probably. But
you know he was near a pond. Don't even get it twisted. He was right by that pond.
But yeah, Nembhard, 21-4-4. But Kevin Samuel won Big 12 Player of the Week with 18-8-7 blocks.
That's what you need from him, though. Yep. That we said that. We're like, if you're going, this team goes as Kevin Samuel goes. Because, yep. Like, yes, we've got some guys who can shoot the ball. Mike Miles has shown massive promise,
yep.
But if you're going to be successful week in, week out, you got to have Kevin Samuel be a presence in the paint, convert his free throws, and ideally, he gets some help from Eddie Lampkin before the end of the season.
Yeah.
But yes, we got the TCU team that we need to have in that game. Hopefully they continue, right?
Yeah, I mean, they play North Dakota State tonight, which is that's a game they should win, but North Dakota State is a quality non-con. Like they're mm-hmm. they're good at every sport, it feels like, anyway.
Yeah.
They're played some tough competition, but it's a game you should win. Then you get Texas Southern, which Texas Southern, if I recall, like they'll go anywhere and play anybody. They go to Gonzaga and they'll play Gonzaga. I think they went to Oregon and beat Oregon last year and they were in the top 25.
Yeah. And they've been a 16 seed a few times.
Yeah. So it's again not a gimme game, a game you should win, but not a gimme game. Then you get Kansas State on January 2nd.
Again, a game you should win.
A game you better win because they got a Big 12 win the other day, but they lost to a D3 school the other day also. So that's a game you need Fort Hays State. You need to win that game. And then you get Kansas Baylor back to back. You play probably number one and number two in the country in mm-hmm. Kansas and Baylor, or number two and three, whatever.
Yeah.
On January 5th and January 9th. That's the big week. So those are the games that you are getting pumped for, getting excited for, but you can't look ahead too far. You got to win these next three games as well. So
hey, but you know what? We beat Baylor last year. That was a national championship caliber Baylor team last year.
That's true.
I didn't get a chance to play for it.
So,
but yeah, so you know, we've beaten Kansas before too, and we had absolutely no business doing so.
Well, and this team is better than that team that beat Kansas.
Oh yeah. So, well, both teams that beat Kansas.
That's true. That's true. So the first team that beat, or the second team that beat Kansas, was pretty good.
Was that the NCAA tournament year, or was that the NIT championship year?
That was the NIT.
Either way, they were probably.
Either way,
better.
I'm gonna say when you, because it was Bane's freshman year.
Yes,
because that was the you ain't no freshman Desmond Bane, because he had two free throws at the buzzer to win the game essentially.
Right.
So that you had Bane, you had Brodzianski, you had Kenny Hustle. Yeah, I'm gonna say that team was better. That's probably the best of the three teams that have. I said beat Kansas. I'm already assuming they're going to beat Kansas this year.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'll call it. Yeah, put it on the board. So, excited for this team going forward. Big stretch of games coming up to start the year. Starting off 2021 with a bang, if you will. The women got a big
hopefully
win today.
It's a bang! Like we made a lot of shots, right?
I hope so. Hopefully Bane in his NBA debut, I think it's tomorrow. I took him with the last pick of my fantasy basketball draft last night. So I haven't played fantasy basketball since like 2003.
Yeah.
I famously traded, it was Jason Kidd and somebody else for Kobe Bryant's. Like 2 days before his 81-point game or whatever.
Oh wow!
So I was like, I just want Kobe. I don't know anything. I think I was terrible that year. I don't remember, but it's only two times I've ever played fantasy basketball. So
the last time I can remember playing fantasy basketball, I unintentionally drafted, like, half of my roster was named Kevin. Like, I had Kevin Garnett, Kevin Durant. Like, I can't even think of all the Kevins that I had. But so then that obviously became an easy team Kevin. Name, you know?
Like, Kevin! He could be Moira Rose going, Kevin!
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's my fantasy basketball story. Still,
I think that blows a lot of people's minds that's Moira Rose, because everyone knows Schitt's Creek now. And then they've since watched Home Alone the last couple weeks, like, wait a minute.
Hold on just a minute.
Yep. Blowing
IMDb is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, I learned during quarantine that Sam Rockwell's in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Yes. He's one of the foot kids. I watched that early. I watched that back in March.
Yeah.
I was like, that's Sam Rockwell. Yeah. So that's fun to see. He like offers the kids cigarettes. So that's fun.
What a jerk.
What a guy. So speaking of not jerks, Lauren Hurd is not a jerk. She had a good game today.
Heck no.
Went 16-9-5, 16 points, 9 boards, 5 assists as the women beat Oral Roberts today 62-48. So a good win today, bouncing back from the tough loss against Texas Tech over the weekend, 78-72. I think they led most of the game, at least the first half. Hurd went for 27-12-5 in that game and couldn't pull out the W.
Man.
That's frustrating.
Very. Yeah, so, I feel like that word says it all. Frustrating. Yeah.
Michelle Berrio went 14-9-4. So your couple players that you need to rely on every night had big games, but the rest of the team is still not there. It's still very young. So hopefully they can pull out some of these wins. And they play Baylor on January 2nd at 1 o'clock.
That's my reaction.
They played close with Baylor last year.
Yeah.
But it's a whole new ball team this year. So we'll see how that goes for them.
We will.
Yes.
Indeed, we will.
Twitter questions, you ready?
I am ready. Ready as I'm ever going to be.
Let's start with Bayou City.
Let's.
Do you think Trey Merrick still plays in the bowl game even if he declares? Any thoughts as to why he may be contemplating coming back? Is it draft related, or does he just want to complete his degree before moving on? I think it's about finishing business here.
Mm-hmm.
I think every mock I've seen him going is late first. Like, I don't think it's a draft scenario at all. I think if he wants to go and be a probable first-round pick, you go. And I wouldn't blame him.
I guess there's a semi-likelihood that if he comes back for a senior year, he goes from being a late first to a front end of the first when he's not competing against, like, the Patrick Surtains of the world and everything. With me not knowing Trey Merrick from Adam and never having spoken to the kid, I would assume that he is the sort of person that would not opt out of the bowl game.
I think he'll play in the bowl game. I don't know if we'll see him again after that. So it's a relish number 7 on next Thursday or whatever. So enjoy that while you can.
God, please come back.
I hope he comes back. I want him to get his degree because that's important.
I'm sure he'll get his degree regardless. But, because, he can do that remotely if he really wants to. But, we just need to be like, hey, do you want a Big 12 championship ring? Do you want to, try and be that first TCU team that gets a shot at the national championship after so many deserving teams did not?
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Yeah, let's do it.
All these college fans that are now pissed at the bowl system can shut up.
Yeah, oh my God.
Can take their opinions to Hades.
Yes. I thought you were saying Haiti at first. I was like, well okay.
Take it to Haiti too. That's
fine. Go to Haiti.
go to Haiti.
There's an earthquake there every, 8 years or something.
So go there. So do you think the offensive staff is now set, or do you think they bring in someone else to be the OC? I think it's pretty well set.
Yeah.
I think
if anything, you see, we were talking about this before the podcast and you said it, and I agree with you. I think if anything, you just see Jerry Kill actually get that official co-OC title.
Yeah.
More likely than not.
That's probably most likely, but then you maybe see Kenny Hill move up. I think you have the staff you do. But again, that is a spot you can fill with a coach. But again, Kenny Hill's not technically a coach right now. I think he's still a grad assistant or something like that.
So then the question becomes, grad assistant coaching carousel. Who are we going to get, right?
Grayson Mielstein. Bring him on
up. Oh, my God. Let's please have Grayson. What are you up to, Grayson Mielstein? Yeah.
I saw him like a year. It was a year ago now. This year,
I wouldn't necessarily wish the life of a GA on anyone, though.
It's a tough life.
You want to talk about unsung heroes and people who get absolutely zero credit for working their tails off and never sleeping and just it's a brutal job. Yeah. Grad assistants deserve more love. And so here it is. You're receiving some on the Purple Mesh podcast. Love, I'm sure. Thank you for what you do.
Or Toad Talk.
Oh, geez, Louise. Oh my gosh. Blast from the past.
What a throwback there.
Oh man.
Watching some of the Big 12 title game, I can see some things to be optimistic about, but if Spencer Rattler and Oklahoma defense continues to improve, it makes you think, how do you see TCU catching up to Oklahoma? I don't think they're necessarily, again, going into next year. Again, last year they lost by 4 and they had Jalen freaking Hurts.
Yeah.
These games are usually close. This year wasn't particularly close and they played like dog poo. And TCU played like dog poo in that game. But yeah, every other year has been roughly a one-score game. So
I've got a hot take for you. Okay. Everyone wanted to say whenever TCU and Baylor were at the top of the Big 12, it was because the Big 12 was down and the Big 12 was not any good. I would argue that that is still the case. The Big 12 is, by and large, not very good because this Oklahoma team is not invincible by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
They are not the world beaters that they were in the Baker Mayfield years, right? So it's less of a, oh my God, how are we going to close this impossible chasm? And more of a just like, hey, when are we going to be what we can be? I mean, if we are as good as we can and should be next year, we can beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about like, oh, okay, we can get to the Big 12 championship and be happy to be there, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, yes, right now it is Oklahoma and everybody else, but that's more of a statement on everybody else and less of a statement on Oklahoma, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're not as unbeatable as they were the last few years.
Yeah,
right now.
And so, Alex Grinch, he may be getting another job.
Yeah, heard we need a new OC.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're that leaps and bounds ahead. I think you need to play perfect, obviously, but I don't think it's impossible to hang with Oklahoma. So I know you guys are big fans of 2021, but isn't 2022 really the year? Max would be a senior, line more experience to complete, plus some of the deep positions should have completed their rotation. Also, I still think they need another year to finish the offensive scheme transformation.
Yeah,
I'm not unpumped about 2022. I know that's not a word, but
yeah.
But looking at that year, with this year giving everyone a free year of eligibility that wants it,
yeah,
sure, 2022 can also be 2021 part two.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a big deal because they bring back, because who will be a senior next year? The same people that are seniors this year.
Well, you'll have a lot more seniors on defense, or a lot more people that are eligible to leave on defense. I think that's where it comes in, because, yeah, you'll have a lot of the same offensive talent back in 2022, or at least at skill positions you will. But defense,
Mathis could go.
Yeah, if you will definitely be losing Corey Bethley. You very likely could be losing O'Shawn Mathis. If Trey Merrick isn't already gone, you'd be losing him. If Ardarius Washington has an excellent year, he could leave. If Trey Tomlinson has another excellent year, he could leave.
Yeah.
There, you could be losing a lot on defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, typically we reload on defense, but the year where you are really built with experience on both sides of the ball to make a run is next year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're going to be trash in 2022.
No. I think it's going to be you're set for both years, potentially based on who comes back and what happens.
Yeah.
Are we home or away for the bowl game? I have no idea.
No clue at
all. Not a clue. I don't know if, has Donati said that? Does that matter?
Well, for what it's worth, the last two times that I can remember us playing in NRG Stadium, we were the away team. For the Texas Bowl in 07 and the EV1.net Houston Bowl in 05, we wore white both times. So, you know, if history is any indication.
Well, have they said what jersey they're wearing?
I have no clue. I don't think so.
I know they tweeted out, a football account tweeted out today, that look at our New Year's Eve plans, and it was NRG Stadium, and it was a picture of Quentin Johnson wearing the uniform from the La Tech game, the all-black. I don't know if that's not a jersey announcement, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
But I have no idea who's home and who's away, and I don't know if it matters.
Don't they typically make the home team the team with the better record? Isn't that typically what happens?
I really don't know. No, honestly, I have no
I'm trying to think if that's even true at all, or if I'm just making that up in my mind.
I don't know if Donati had said something about, because I know he's talking about getting the Froghorn there, but I think it's usually there whether home or away, right? It's not like it's only the home team can have their noisemaker there.
Yeah. Well, then maybe that means we're wearing purple or black.
Not a clue. Let's see. Let's go with...
stay tuned is the answer to that.
Fernando Coronado Jr. at
Fernando.
At Coronado 9978.
Francisco.
Do you see Max Duggan leave early next year to the NFL? And if so, what round do you think he goes?
Billy, you're so pretty. You look like you could be on a Christmas card.
I love the Elf reference.
I got
favorite,
more.
It's my favorite Christmas movie. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
It's A Wonderful Life, hands down, bar none. I freaking love that. That movie's amazing.
Fair enough.
And I could go on and on. But let's answer this question.
I don't think Duggan leaves early, and I think if he were to leave early, he'd be probably undrafted.
Yeah, I don't see next any year. Scenario in which Max leaves early because Max has really fashioned himself as like the heart and soul of this team. I think he wants to see this thing through. He wants to take TCU as high as he can take them. What's more, I mean, Max, I think Max has extremely huge potential. I think he's very talented, but I don't think he's going to be, even if he has a great year next year, I don't think he will be polished enough to warrant high draft consideration.
That's what I think too. I think it's more about, is he polished enough to be a draft pick? And right now, and I think that's no. We're still probably 2 years away from that.
Right now, he's still at a place where he's more effective with his legs than with his arm. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah, and of course, as we've seen in the NFL of recent years, it's become more of a trend, but it's not.
Well, but you still got to be.
Yeah, he's also still 19 years old. Or maybe he's 20 now. Either way, it's not. I don't think it's happening. What is Zach Evans' outlook based on what we've seen from him this season? We'll see him for.
He's gonna be really good.
We'll see him at least for two more years, and he will probably be a. Judging by how the NFL is not drafting running backs high anymore, probably a late first, maybe early second rounder. But he's definitely an NFL guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, yeah.
I think there's no question about that. But I think you got two more years of Zach Evans. Enjoy it while you can.
Basically.
How do you see TCU matching up with Arkansas in the Texas Bowl? TCU's offense the last couple weeks has been flying around the field. They're throwing the ball deep. Arkansas's defense has struggled the last couple weeks. I think TCU matches up well on both sides of the ball against Arkansas. You're getting them at a good time with their offense putting up 3 points. It was against Alabama, but they're not. And they put up, I think, 48 against Missouri. So they're competent. They're not trash. But
Sam Pittman was a great hire for them. I think they're trending in the right direction. But I mean, if we have any Hogs listening, I think that yes. Y'all are, the arrow is finally pointing up for the first time in a long time. But no, this should be like a Louisiana Tech-ish situation. This isn't one that you should have to sweat out.
Should be a two-score win. I'm not prepared to say Louisiana Tech, but I think I
didn't mean that in blowout. I meant like comfortable win.
You should win comfortably.
Yeah. Yes.
Also from Fernando, I think he's got two more. He's got two more questions coming. So, do you see any more five-star commits committing to us? We had great early signing period, flipping four stars.
Billiam?
I don't think TCU's had one ever, right? One five-star ever.
True.
That's Zach Evans. They got that super late.
Very fluky.
I predicted earlier this year when they got Zach Evans, the next one would be Denver Harris, five-star 2022 corner from the same high school as Zach Evans. So that's Houston North Shore. So I still don't necessarily believe it. He's probably going to go to like an Ohio State or a Texas or an LSU. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to bet on somebody, that's my early, for no real reason except for the loose connection to Zach Evans. That'd be the reason.
Okay.
So
I will accept it.
Yep. When was the last time we competed in the Texas Bowl? That was with Andy Dalton.
2007 against Houston, of all people, Texas Bowl.
Andrew J. Dalton beat Case Keenum.
Yes.
In the Texas Bowl. Again, a game I somehow have zero memory of. I can't think about it in my brain. I can't find it anywhere. I went to the EV1.net Houston Bowl.
I was there too.
Against Iowa State when they won that game. 2005,
yes.
I think Peter Lococo might have hit the game winner.
He did indeed, yes. So yes,
I was there. I remember that game, but I don't recall that one. But yes.
Zarnell Fitch, Coach Zarnell Fitch had an interception in that game.
Yeah, in that game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's that was
Todd Blythe was their go-to receiver. I remember that too. Wow. This white guy who was exceptionally tall. He was like 6'7 or something.
For Iowa State?
Yeah, for Iowa State.
Yeah. It's shocking. They found a tall guy
to go catch
passes. Let's see. That's
and before that, it was the, if you want to talk about a game you want to forget, it was the galleryfurniture.com bowl in Houston. That was against A&M. And Casey Printers threw 5,000 interceptions on the way to a loss.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I
think before that, you'd have to go back to the Bluebonnet Bowl, which would have been Astrodome, I suppose. But that we lost that one to West Virginia.
You remember all this stuff.
I do, off the top of my head.
Let's see. William Royal, you can bring anyone in all of college football to fill Cumbie's spot. Who?
Anyone in all of college football to be a co-OC and quarterback coach?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like you got to go big on this one, right?
So, Sarkisian?
Yeah, probably.
That's where I'd go.
I was trying to think of... Or maybe like Chip Kelly.
Or Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Lincoln Riley. There you go.
Lincoln Riley.
That's the choice.
If I could bring anyone in, I'd bring in Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, so, yes. There you go.
Tommy at TRF51. How much of a profit do you think will make on his home, which is a block or two from campus? I think that means Cumbie. Probably a lot, because I think it's much cheaper to live out in Lubbock.
Oh, yeah.
It's a much cheaper homes out there. So
it's not exactly a seller's market right now, though, no. As far as I'm aware. So
probably not. I don't understand markets. It's all confusing.
Who is buying a house right by TCU right now? That's the question.
I would love to. I like driving there to see Christmas lights and stuff. And it's
yes, my wife and I did that recently. Yeah,
beautiful
yeah.
Neighborhood. Steve Gottich, is Gus Malzahn the perfect fit at OC for the offense TCU wants to run? Yeah.
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 Honestly, yes.
He's the perfect fit. I don't think he comes here because I don't think he would take that much of a step back and roll. I mean,
he's not going to hug his children and kiss his wife. I mean, he's still not going to take a step back.
I mean, he's still making – they're still paying him, what, $20 million a year to not coach Auburn?
Yeah.
Which is – I still can't believe that's a thing that we're allowing to happen.
I know, man.
But, yeah, it's not about money. I think it's just a matter of does he want to take that role, and I'm guessing no.
Yeah.
But it would be fun.
If you're getting paid $20 million to not work, like – you might just take a vacation, you know?
Yeah, right.
Or like be a commentator on Fox for a season and make that much more money. Like, probably better things you could do with your time.
Yeah. Derek Duke at Derek Duke 25. Can you imagine spending your New Year's Eve anywhere else besides the Texas Bowl in Houston?
Unfortunately, I'm having to most likely imagine it, but I don't want to imagine. I want to be there.
I can imagine it, but I would like to be there. I'm also not going. I will view it from the confines of my home here and enjoy it socially distantly, sadly. But it'd be fun.
That's some significant social distance.
In a normal year, I'd go.
Yeah.
I've been to the Alamo Bowl twice.
Oh, have you? You went both times?
I went both times.
Yep. I was there in 15. I think that was the last bowl game I went to, actually. It was the Alamo Bowl in 15.
I went to the Liberty Bowl against Georgia.
Yeah.
Went to that one as well. They didn't go to a bowl game last year.
Man, yes. The Alamo Bowl in 15 was the last bowl game I've been to. I've got to find a way to get to this game.
The last three bowl games have been Alamo, Liberty, Alamo, right?
It would have been Alamo in 15, Liberty in 16, Alamo in 17, and then Cheez-It.
Oh, Cheez-It. How can I forget the Cheez-It? Yes. I did not go to Cheez-It.
Remember the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes, how could I forget? but did not go to that one. So, yes, the last bowl game I've been to was the Stanford-Alamo Bowl. So,
got to get down there.
Yeah, you should.
Got to find more than four seats together. If anyone has more than four seats together.
You're interested.
I'm an interested party.
All right. Drip King, always D. Duncan Soul, always asking the hard questions. Address the conspiracy. GP to retire after 2022. He gave the offensive staff two-year extensions that correspond with Max graduating.
I would not be surprised.
I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we've all I think I said that years ago, that when this contract is up, I believe it's in 2022, he'd walk away.
Yeah.
Because he said repeatedly that he doesn't want to do this forever.
Yeah.
And his birthday, isn't he have a December birthday or a February birthday?
Does he?
An off-season birthday?
I don't know.
I should know this. I should know GP's birthday. February 13th, that's right.
Okay.
And
he's a Valentine's baby.
And he'll be 61 this year, this coming off-season, so... Could I see him going 62 and saying I'm done? Yeah, I could. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we've said a million times, like, if we were ever to be so lucky to win a national championship with Coach P, I mean, he's walking off and going home after with the trophy in his hands.
That's the last thing he's done. I think if they somehow win it next year, he walks off. But I think 2022, him walking away, is very real possibility. So,
yeah,
and it does kind of wrap a lot of things in a pretty bow as far as players that are young and potentially reaching their peak in 2022. So,
yeah,
I'm not predicting it now, but I think it could happen. It wouldn't shock.
It's incredibly likely.
It's very possible. So, Yellen K is back asking questions.
Hey.
So, you'll get into the sunny news, but is there now an open slot on the coaching staff, or will duties just be shuffled to Meech Kill in 2021? Probably shuffle
those duties.
Technically, they can hire someone else, but I mean, if you look at coaching staffs, they still have a smaller coaching staff than you see Alabama on the sidelines and other schools. So they can add more coaches if they wanted to. I don't see them doing it in this climate.
Yeah.
But it's not like they've ever been like up against the wall of people to have as far as the coaching staff. I saw when I was researching the Kent State guy, they have a swag coordinator on their coaching staff. I think she's a former cheerleader.
Teach, you can you please hire me to be the swag coordinator?
That should be you. So there's plenty of room for that. So expecting any opt-outs for the Texas Bowl. Haven't really experienced that in the past, but curious if Mary would stop to focus on training. Did Pro say he's not playing in the bowl game, or is he just declaring for the draft?
He didn't say he wasn't playing, but I guess I wouldn't be totally surprised.
I wouldn't be shocked if Pro doesn't play. And I wouldn't, and again, Trey Harris hasn't said anything yet. I think he'll play, but it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play
either. Yeah.
So.
I guess.
Surprise, play calling will be divided up amongst the press box next season, and you'll have three plays to get a first down or more. What are you calling?
Okay, Billy, what are you calling?
First is Chase Curtis Wild Frog.
You're going to score right there. So
yeah, that's points every time.
Just go ahead and stop.
That's obviously what I would call. Flea Flicker to Blair Conright. Mm-hmm. Hand off to Zach Evans, pitches back to Duggan. To Conright for a big game.
Okay.
Because everyone's expecting Q on the flea flicker. They're not expecting Blair on the flea flicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's two. And then who on the in there has like an arm? Like who's a former quarterback that's now playing somewhere else? Because I want them to throw a pass. Normally they have several of these guys. So I'm blanking on one right now.
But I feel like all the former quarterbacks are on defense right now.
So I'm saying I want one of them to throw a pass. I'm trying to think.
Josh Foster's a former quarterback.
Josh Foster, there you go. Josh Foster, that's who I want throwing. I want him throwing a pass. I want a pitch back. I want a double pitch back. I want you to hand off to Zach Evans, who then crosses it backwards across the field to Josh Foster, who then throws a bomb to DeMarque Foster.
Okay, yeah.
Not Darwin Barlow, I mean.
Call it the Foster special.
Call it DeMarque Foster or Darwin Barlow, his former high school teammate. Those are my three plays I would call.
I would call like start it off, run on first down, make Parker Fleming like rip some of his beard hairs out, run a power play to Zach Evans with a pulling guard because I love pulling guards, and then immediately afterward you run a play action pass where you attack the middle of the field with a tight end, and then after that we're going to
Only three plays. You're done.
Okay, yeah.
You're done. Your play calling duties are with Jeremy Sturm now.
I already did two. I only did two.
No, you said the first. You said the
a run play. And then a play action pass.
But is that the pulling guard play? Is that
your
run?
Yeah, that's the pulling guard.
Okay, that's the Parker pulling his hair out play. Okay.
Yes. The guard pulls. Parker pulls as well his hair out, and then you gotta loft one over to Quentin Johnston. I think is the last one.
I like it. B-Bank
make it Sorum. A
touchdown.
I forgot my words. Yes.
It's called a touchdown.
Make it a touchdown. That was exactly the word I was looking for.
Brian Banks finished it off with him. Did the OL really improve, or did we play worse teams?
Now that is the question, isn't it?
I think it's a little bit of both, because the O-line also did a lot of shuffling towards the end of the year. I think they definitely played worse teams, but I do think the team played better towards the end of the year. I think it's a column A, column B situation.
Yeah. I think that.
Isn't signing this small class and relying on the transfer market a bit concerning for the long-term success of the program? Well, in 2 years, it's all going to blowing up anyway, right? That's what we just said. So who cares? No, I think this year everything's so weird. I think with people getting all the free year and you'll have people transferring all over the place the next 2 years. I think it's definitely less than ideal, but I think it can work.
I mean, I keep hearing so much panic about the size of this class, and I don't understand it. Our team is so outrageously young.
Yeah,
we don't need to. We get a huge class, and then half of them enter the transfer portal. Yeah. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
Like, we're getting people that we need. I think ideally you would have liked to have had one or two more offensive linemen, maybe.
Yeah,
but I think it's fine. Y'all need to relax. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
It is. As the flames rage.
Yeah, quality over quantity is what I would say. Would you drink 2 ounces of your co-host's urine for a 38-game win streak? Are you hydrated right now? Are you a good teammate, as Tom Herman would say?
I'm pretty hydrated. How much is 2 ounces? I'm trying to picture two fluid ounces.
Like a shot glass, I think?
Oh, if it's just a... Yes. If it's just a shot that I can just literally
I think there's 2 ounces in a shot.
Let me see. I'm gonna do a quick Google search.
Well, I'm in front of a computer. You're trying to pull it up on there. A shot is 1.5 ounces. So
okay, a large shot.
A double shot in the U.S. may be 2 fluid ounces or more.
I mean, so it's theoretically still something that you can like hold your nose and gulp.
It's a mouthful.
But you don't have to swish it around.
Yeah, I'm not very hydrated right now, I'll admit. I'm less hydrated than I normally am.
So it's going to be very pungent.
It might be pungent. It might be strong to quite strong.
Yeah, would you drink your asparagus pee?
I have a very hot take about asparagus pee.
Okay.
I prefer the smell of asparagus urine to regular urine.
Really?
Very hot take. I know. It might be the
grossest. It's kind of like smelling gasoline, I guess.
I don't know. I don't really like the smell of gas, but I like the smell of asparagus pee.
Okay.
It's a hot take, I know.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
A big mason jar full of asparagus pee. Well, I should have saved that
one for
last.
It's like a scented candle. You know.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
I'll get what's-her-face, Pepper Potts, who makes the candles out of her own vagina smell.
What?
Did you not know about that?
I don't want to know more about that. Last question from Brian Banks.
You didn't know about that?
What's her name? I don't know. What's the worst color?
Okay.
The shade of red your face is right now is the worst color. No, I don't like yellow. That's a hot take because my dad's favorite color is yellow.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about yellow.
I don't get yellow as a color.
I'm not. I don't really like orange very much. I talked myself out of every answer I had on the way over here because I actually saw this tweet. And I was like, well, I don't like orange. That's probably my answer. But I was like, oh, fall foliage. I mean, that's beautiful. You know, like you can't beat that. And I was like,
there's not a lot of yellow stuff.
Yeah.
Well, corn?
Because I feel like gold is different than yellow.
Gold's very different from yellow.
Yeah. Yellow's probably a good choice.
Sorry, Dad. Yellow's probably the worst color. So.
Specifically yellow with brown.
I'm good at making my family upset.
Yeah.
It's what I do best. 'Tis the season, after all.
To upset your family?
Yeah, why not?
Gwyneth Paltrow, who does the goo, this? She makes candles that are scents of her bodily fluids.
I'm making the music as loud as I possibly can. Clint, promote something other than that, please.
I'm sure that she could help us out, is all I'm saying.
I'm sure she could.
Follow me on Twitter, @Clint_Foster55. I talk surprisingly little about bodily fluids online. You can also check out my videos on YouTube. Search TCU Fans. That should lead you to most of them. On Instagram, I'm @TheClintFoster. And I don't have any new sketches right now, but I got one in the works that I'm really hoping that it gets made sooner rather than later.
I got to read the script of it. I if it works, it'll be amazing.
The person in question has said, yes, I have received it. I will read it. So
yes.
Hopefully the next step occurs.
The next step could possibly occur. That's exciting. You'll probably do a video for the Arkansas game.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Are you not doing a Big 12 Christmas? Thanksgiving was good enough, I feel like.
I had
New Year's resolutions for Big 12 teams.
That's an idea. I had one Christmas idea that just never got made, but probably won't make it at this point. And then I was swirling around in my head, like, bowl game preview ideas, recruiting class ideas, but I never settled on something that I really liked. So, as of right now, Arkansas is the next one on the docket.
There you go. And I'm @BillyWessels on Twitter, and go check out Hornfog Blitz and see what's going on over there. And hopefully we can get a win over the former Southwest Conference rival next week, and hope you guys have a Merry Christmas and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah's over, but hope that was good for you guys if that's something you do.
Merry Christmas, building and loan!
Happy holidays, everybody. Well, we'll be back next week. I'm saying happy holidays, but there's still New Year's.
Yeah.
Enjoy this week.
Yeah.
However you choose to enjoy this week,
don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, right. We'll be back. We'll see you next week.